Welcome to Prophecy Radio, the Percy Jackson podcast that will keep you up to date on all things Rick Riordan and Rick Riordan Presents, including upcoming books, adaptations, and more.
Hi!
This is episode number 120. My name is Karen.
I'm Kristen.
And we forgot how to do this.
Yeah, you know, we haven't taken that much time off, but you'd think we had, because we, like, forgot everything.
We figured out that we haven't recorded, and therefore haven't seen each other in 5 weeks.
It has been 5 weeks.
We are literally exchanging Christmas presents today on March 3rd, because we have not done that yet.
Because Kristen had to go to Disney, so we didn't do it before Disney.
Yeah.
And then Karen went on vacation, and we just hadn't connected in all that time.
Yeah, so more on that in a minute.
Yeah.
But we are here. We are back. Hopefully you missed us. Hopefully this is a nice little surprise popping up wherever you listen to your podcast.
And hopefully you didn't worry too much, because we were still pretty active on social media. We just didn't have a new episode for you and never gave you an explanation.
Yes.
Because we didn't realize we were taking a break until it happened.
Yeah. We'll get to
it's
that.
It snuck up on us.
You can contact us, as always, at Prophecy Podcast on Twitter, at Prophecy Radio Podcast on Tumblr, Instagram, Threads, and Facebook, and Prophecy Radio Podcast at gmail.com. You can also still join Prophecy Radio Reading Room on Facebook, which is our private Facebook group for anyone who wants to read and talk about books that involve mythology. It's probably been a little quiet in there as well, but, you know, we'll get back into the swing of things here soon.
Yeah, it's been a little quiet in there. This new year has kind of just taken a minute to get going, and I think, yeah. Now, once we get started here, and with some more reading and some other things, we'll have more to talk about in there.
Yeah, definitely. So jumping into our news and updates this week, we have some updates concerning the podcast, which sounds ominous, but it's not. I think that it's going to be a good thing overall. First and foremost, where have we been the last couple of weeks?
Well, Karen went on vacation, which was like 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, that was the end of January, early February. And it was a lot of fun. I went to Mexico. Like, I had a really great time.
Took some very lovely pictures.
Yes, I haven't even posted all of them yet because life got wild, and but it was a lot of fun, and I think it kind of reset some things for me. I think I needed a vacation like that, and kind of like, I turned off notifications for Instagram and Twitter while I was away. I've literally never done that in my life. And it was so nice. It was really wonderful.
Yeah, heck yeah. And we have taken so many quote-unquote vacations where we were going to conventions, we were running around and getting stuff done, and it's not a vacation.
Yeah.
It's time away from my day job, and I loved doing hypeable stuff and running around and all of that, but it was never a vacation. Like, you don't just sit and relax or go do fun things that are just fun and that you don't have to write an article about when you get back.
Yeah.
Or things like that. So, like, it really is very different to, like, take an adult, I call it an adult vacation, where, like, you're just there to have fun. You're just there to, like, do the thing.
Yeah. I will admit that I did think about writing a little bit while I was in Mexico, because we were at, like, one of those all-inclusive resorts, and I was like, because I write mystery thrillers, I was like, okay, maybe Cassie will end up at this resort in Mexico and find a dead body. Like, I was like, oh, that's a place where a dead body could be. Or, like, it's really dark here. Why don't they have any lights?
That's just called being a writer.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
You can't really turn that off.
It doesn't matter where you are. You're going to think, can I use this?
Yeah, exactly.
How can I use this? When can I use it? Because, everything you do, everywhere you go is just inspiration, and it's constantly,
Yeah. So if Cassie shows up in Mexico,
you'll know the inspiration.
Why. Yeah. So we did plan a couple of episodes for after we got back. Actually, a couple of really exciting episodes. But unfortunately, Kristen and I both had a death in the family on the same day.
Yeah, we each lost someone, and it just was very strange how it all kind of happened. And it meant that Karen wanted to go home because she, you know, she lives a couple of states away from her family. So she wanted to go home to be with her mom, and which totally made sense. And for me, it was an aunt of mine who's not, like, super, super close. Like, you know, I knew her growing up and all that. But I still, you know, needed time to just kind of, you know, let that be a thing and go to the events and things you do at that sort of thing. So it kind of ate up the time we had planned to record. And so because of that, hi, it's like a week and a half later.
Yeah.
Other words, we would have been back on our normal schedule, like, when we planned. It just, some personal chaos kind of came up.
Yeah, and that was one of those things where, like, at first I tried to just push through it because it was my aunt as well, but it was somebody that, you know, especially when I was younger, I was very, very close to, and it was a big shock and everything. So I was like, okay, we can still do this stuff, but, like, you know, I'll just, like, figure it out. And I was like, no, I can't. I have to, like, take the time to grieve and stuff like that. And I think I'm, like, much better for that, so.
I mean, my aunt was, like, 93, so she had lived a very long life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't expected, but it wasn't unexpected either.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was less, like, abrupt, whereas I know for you it was very abrupt for you.
Yeah.
So, like, I absolutely understand where you need time to just go and appreciate your family and all of that, and come back and you feel a little better because you've had that time.
Right. And I'm not good at, like, stepping away from work and stuff, and so I feel like this was a really good lesson for me of, like, how useful that can be.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to take breaks, everyone.
Yeah.
You need it sometimes.
Especially for things like grief or big life changes where you might need that extra day. Like, if you're trying to decide when to start your new job, give yourself 2 or 3 days after a move or whatever.
Yeah.
Take that extra time because you're not going to get it once you start your job. And I can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
Take the extra day because if it's a day you spend putting stuff away or a day you spend just decompressing after all the change and the constant upheaval, like, you'll need it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is life lessons with Christian and Karen because I just wanted to be like, also, when we went on vacation, we came back on a Friday so that we had Saturday and Sunday to recover. That was, like, the best idea ever to have the entire weekend.
Meanwhile, every vacation I've ever gone on, I've come back on Sunday and had to be going, like, Monday or Tuesday.
And it's not worth it.
It's not smart.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, that is not the only upheaval in our lives right now, because Callie, who you all know as my cat and who has made numerous appearances on the podcast, has not been feeling well lately, and she kind of stopped eating, and that's a big deal for her because she loves her food.
She loves food.
Yeah, and she got really lethargic, and we were really worried about her, so I took her to the vet. And turns out that she is in the early to mid stages of kidney disease. We think that she could be between, like, 8 and 9, but the vet also thinks maybe she could be between 10 and 12, which is about the age that they start to develop that. And, you know, that was obviously not the news I wanted, especially after everything that had just happened.
Yeah.
I felt like the universe was really just kicking me while I was down. And so that's another reason why it's taken us a little bit of time to come back on the podcast. But we switched her over to a kidney diet, a special diet to help cats with kidney disease. And because she was super dehydrated and hadn't been eating, her numbers were elevated compared to maybe what they should be. So in a couple of weeks, I'll take her back to the vet after she kind of gets back on her feet. She got some medication and stuff to get her rehydrated and get her appetite up again. And hopefully we'll check those numbers and then, you know, she'll be better and we'll know exactly how far along she is. It's possible that she could have eaten something that could have caused that, but she really doesn't get into, like, other things.
Yeah, she's not really been a cat that, like, eats things unexpectedly.
Yeah, like, she doesn't really chew on plants or,
like, she wants her
like
food,
that.
But that's about it.
Yeah, so it is very likely that she's in the early stages of kidney disease, but we've been reading a lot of stuff about it, and there are a lot of cats that, you know, they were projected to have say 2 years or less, and they're still alive 6 years later. So it just really depends, and we're just trying to stay hopeful. But I felt like I just wanted to tell you guys because Callie's made an appearance a few times on the podcast, and there's been some, you know, funny moments with her and everything. So just another reason why we've been a little quiet. And that kind of leads us into what we want to do with the podcast next, because in all honesty, you know, I think, again, not very good at taking breaks and relaxing. When I, you know, do something, I'm kind of all in on it. And I've really been trying, especially the last few years, to do, you know, some sort of work-life balance thing. Not always easy, but I think I am getting better at it. And the podcast takes up a lot of time, especially when we record for a couple of hours. Then you gotta imagine it takes at least twice that to edit the podcast, plus setting up interviews and doing research and social media and stuff. It's just, it's been eating up a lot of time and energy.
Let's just say, while Karen was gone, Kristen got a large dose of how much Karen does. Like, I do things to help the podcast, but, like, Karen does a lot of work for the podcast, and I, there are things I knew she did, but then there are things that I had no clue she was doing on top of everything else.
Because Karen's super extra.
So,
Karen doesn't do anything except for 150%.
So, yeah, we kind of both got a better idea, I think, of where, what, all the stuff that we were doing, and it's like, is it all, you know, 100% things that we must be doing in order to keep the podcast going? And we kind of had a little talk last week, and we absolutely love doing the podcast. We are not going anywhere, but we're gonna make a few changes because we think we're spending a little too much time trying to cover everything all the time.
Yeah.
Like, especially with news and things. Like, we want to talk about the Rick Riordan Presents books that are coming out, because those are fun. And we want to talk about the big stuff that's happening in the fandom. But we may not cover every little thing. We may not hit on every article that comes out that's related to, you know, an RRP book or a Percy book or whatever. We're going to try and kind of scale it back a little bit and just enjoy talking about the things that we want to talk about. And that includes stuff that you would like to hear more about. So if you guys have a news story or something that's really interesting, feel free to, you know, interact with us on Twitter or Instagram or whatever and let us know, because we'd rather spend 5 to 10 minutes talking about an interesting, you know, Percy-related story than just running down a whole list of articles that you should check out and this that you should read and all of that. So the news section's going to change a little bit for sure. And then we also want to kind of change up the discussion, too.
Yeah, so we just, like Kristen said, we kind of want to just pare down a little bit about, you know, what we're talking about, what interests us. And with the discussions, we want to kind of do like a shorter, more targeted discussion. So we're still going to do the same topics that we did before, but maybe we won't go into as much detail. Or if we do, we might start doing multi-part episodes, because the biggest thing is, and I don't think I'm going to shock anybody when I say this, is that we have a little bit of trouble talking too much.
Oh yeah, we could talk for 3 hours on things.
It's very easy when, you know, you've known somebody as long as we've known each other, when you share those same interests and passions and stuff, it's super easy just to sit down and talk for 2, 2.5, 3 hours.
But the problem is when you talk for 2, 2.5, 3 hours, in order to get the podcast done and edited and sounding good like you guys are used to, it requires you to listen to it back and edit it. Like, you have to listen to it in real time and edit it, which ends up taking almost twice as long as the episode. So if we record for 2.5 hours, it can take 5 to 6 hours to edit the episode. And that just eats into your spare time. Because we both have careers, we both have jobs that we have to do, and I'm spending 8 hours a day yoked to my computer. You're spending 7, 8 hours a day writing and researching and doing things for your stuff. So we don't, you know, to spend 6 hours editing the podcast on top of everything else, it just eats into the life stuff, and we both are looking for that balance.
Yeah. I have a bad habit of Because, like, in case nobody knows this, we do this for fun and we do this for free. We literally get no money for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do get some cool opportunities sometimes, but every time we, like, when I went to interview Rick, when I went on the book tour and everything, like, I paid for that ticket myself. Like, that wasn't free. You know, all of this stuff we do because we genuinely love doing it. And I have a bad habit of being like, this has to get done. This is a deadline. And then my boyfriend, you know, is always like, but does it? Like, who's saying that? And I was like, well, I am. Like, I'm the one holding myself accountable to this. And I'm trying to get better at prioritizing the stuff that pays the bills and the stuff that, you know, as a writer is, like, important to my career. I want to expand my writing in a lot of ways and try new things. And, you know, I really love this podcast and I love doing it. And it's a great way to see Kristen. You know, we lived together for so long that, like, it would have been weird not to continue seeing each other fairly regularly. And you know, I still have as much passion for it, but I think my energy levels are just not as high as they used to be. And I would rather spend more time enjoying what we end up doing with the podcast than stressing about trying to get everything done.
Yeah, and like, you know, when you prepare for a podcast, like when we're going to talk about, I don't know, if, you know, when we decide to do an episode and Karen wants to do a deep dive on a god, more or less, most often than not, Karen is the one doing the deep dive. And so she spends all this time researching and going through all this extra, you know, all this stuff. And while it's important and really fun, and I do think that those episodes are good, and we'll probably do some of those, maybe paring back and not trying to cover everything, mm-hmm. but hitting the really cool parts or the really interesting parts, like, I think there's more value in that than just making sure we get everything.
Right. We never tried to be an educational podcast.
No.
But it's like, you know, the art history nerd in me is like, I love this stuff. Like, I'm genuinely passionate about it, but I have to remember, like, just doing this for fun.
Yeah, and so we're going to scale back just a little. We're going to try and keep our episodes to an hour just for our own well-being.
Yeah.
Don't mind the little cough, by the way.
Are you still sick?
It's just this cold. The cough won't let go.
Oh, my gosh.
My mom had it, too, and it was like, it was two or three things kind of all compiled into one, but one of them was bronchitis, and the bronchitis can last like 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Even if it's not like active, I still have this like lingering cough that occasionally bugs me. So mm-hmm. I'm sorry if I cough. We'll try to edit it out.
You're forgiven.
But yeah, so nonetheless, we're not changing what we talk about. We're just changing a few little things about how we're going to structure the podcast. Hang with us. We're going to experiment a little and make sure that this is, you know, exactly how we want everything to go. But I think it'll be good because we'll have more fun things to report in the news section. Mm-hmm. And when we're catching you guys up on what we're up to, hopefully we'll both have fun things to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. And speaking of what is coming up on Prophecy Radio, well, we actually, before I went to Mexico, we planned a whole series of episodes, which we're still going to do, with a bunch of guests, voices that you definitely have heard before.
You'll recognize.
Yeah, so there's going to be some really, really great things coming up. We're going to be talking specific topics about season one of the show. So we are going to be talking about the show some more and kind of dive into some just specific aspects that we really enjoyed and get some people on who are kind of experts to talk about that sort of thing. So I'm really looking forward to that. That is probably going to take up a couple of months.
Yeah.
Like, we really have a lot of really interesting things coming, so that's awesome. We've also potentially have some exclusive interviews with the Rick Rodden Presents authors. That's not going away. That's still a huge passion of ours. I don't think we want to give up Rick Rodden Presents at all. And we will still have discussions of their books. We did have a couple of things lined up and then unfortunately had to cancel them, so we're getting them rescheduled right now, and as soon as they're rescheduled, we'll probably record them and get those episodes out.
Yeah.
And then after things settled down and we kind of moved past this, like, okay, we have so much stuff to do sort of thing, we will be getting back into Chalice of the Gods. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, you're stuck, like, halfway through the book. Yeah. You
have... I still don't know how it ends.
Yeah, so...
I'm sure... I haven't been spoiled, thank goodness, but, yeah. Like, I still have no idea what's going on.
So that's really funny. And then after that, we are planning to get back into the Red Pyramid. So everything that we had talked about doing before, we're still going to do. We're just going to try to pare down the discussions a little bit and potentially do multi-part episodes so that we can really stick to that one-hour timeline.
Especially if it's something that we're just having fun, like, really digging deep into. We don't necessarily want to cut the discussion off and say, okay, that's it, we're done. Mm-hmm. But if we're really, vibing and having a lot of fun with it, yeah, we'll just take a break and we'll pick it up the next week where we left off and just jump right back in. Because I don't see any reason why we shouldn't, we can't do that. If we're going to talk for 2 hours about something, I don't even know. I did mention us talking about possible Percy Jackson tattoos in the future. Like, if we got on tangents about it and we want to talk about it for 2 hours, we can. But we'll just make it 2 episodes so that we have some time to get all of that edited and ready and have it ready
for that's just more content for us, too, because goodness knows we're going to be around for a while at this point with everything that's coming out. So, yeah, that'll be really great.
Yeah.
And speaking of, we should wrap this section up with the actual news.
Yeah.
Again, we're doing kind of rapid fire. We're not getting into the nitty-gritty of everything, but we wanted to talk about some of the highlights over the last couple of weeks. Before we get into the big news, I also wanted to mention that Winston Chu versus the Wingmeisters by Stacy Lee is out. It came out on February 6th. So, you know, we hadn't mentioned that in a while, but...
And Drop of Venom we talked about already.
Drop of Venom, yeah, is out. And then we still have plans to discuss that and everything. So we will get to that soon.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just wanted to remind everybody about Wingmeisters because we really loved the first book. And we're excited to jump into the second one.
Yeah, we definitely will. It'll be a little delayed from its actual release, but I don't see any problem with that.
Yeah. So the big news, obviously, is that Percy Jackson and the Olympians has been renewed for season 2.
Yeah!
Yeah. When did this happen? I wasn't still gone. I was back, right?
I want to say you were back, but it was, like, in the downtime before you had come back. Like, you were back in town, but you hadn't, like, taken the social media stuff back yet from me.
Right.
Because you were kind of adjusting to being back from vacation. And so I had still kind of been, you know, keeping an eye on things and retweeting things or whatever. Yeah. That was when this just randomly popped up and was like, hey, here we go.
And I mean, I'm not really surprised. I think we both really kind of knew that season 2 was going to happen, but it's a huge relief. It's a huge, you know, pressure off that it's actually happening.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. There's a lot of interviews and stuff going on right now, and as always, Updates Percy usually has everything locked down, so feel free to go visit them on Twitter to find out, you know, what's going on with that. Just a couple of tiny things I wanted to mention because I thought they were particularly interesting is that Bear McCreary is returning to score season 2, which is fantastic.
Love that.
James Bobbin will direct again, also fantastic. And there are no open auditions in the works, which means that it's not going to be, you know, random people auditioning for these roles. It's going to be somebody with representation and that sort of thing.
They probably have ideas, I would guess, for young actors that they want to take these roles. And so they either reach out to 5, 6, 10, 20 of those people rather than doing an open call, because once a show is established like this, putting an open call together is kind of chaos.
Yeah.
Because you get people who want to be there just to see the directors, the casting, you know, like, you get people who want to come and be a part of it just to be a part of it because we're excited and we're fans. But, like, doing an open call for a known property like that can be really troublesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely understand why they're not doing an open call. It's easier to just, go through representation. And there are so many talented young actors who have been doing things with Netflix and Disney and whatever for so long that I think they'll have no problem finding the characters and the pieces that they need for next season.
Yeah.
I did want to mention, I've been seeing a lot of, like, statistics about how Percy Jackson and the Olympians has been ranking.
Yes.
I don't have any of them in front of me at the moment, so I forgot to go dig them up. But there have been a lot of things being noted. Percy has been at the top of all kinds of viewing records and things for the last month and a half. Mm-hmm. One of the most streamed shows out of all the streaming platforms, not just Disney, not just, you know, Hulu and Disney or whatever. It's truly been ranking very, very high. It's got really great reviews. I think it's still at like a 96 or so on Rotten Tomatoes. Nice. I haven't looked in a couple weeks, but, you know, like it's still really ranked really highly. And so I obviously wasn't surprised about the season two renewal. I would be surprised if we don't get more of the show, too. Mm-hmm. I would be shocked if season two dipped because so many people really enjoyed it.
Right.
So, just all good things. That was all.
Yeah, and for Disney, like, outside of Marvel and Star Wars, this is, like, the biggest show that they've had so far.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been able to really put together a Disney property that could get, the, you know, like, Marvel and Star Wars have their own built-in fan base, yeah. They have forever, and so those were kind of going to be big no matter what, no matter who had them. But Disney hasn't had, like, a Disney show on Disney Plus, like an original show that really, really took off. I mean, High School Musical, the musical, the series kind of did. It had its own little heyday, but it wasn't, like, universally big. Whereas Percy has been really huge for them, and it's a new phenomenon. It's a new thing for them. They're starting from scratch with Percy, and so I think it has so much room to grow, and I love that Disney's kind of behind it, and that we'll have that whole machine working for the show. So
yeah, so that's really exciting, and hopefully that just leads to more and more good news. We're hoping for season 5.
Yeah.
And the sad but also kind of interesting thing is that King Chronicles is no longer going forward at Netflix. The time kind of ran out to get that adapted, despite the fact that they've been working on the script for the Red Pyramid movie for quite a while now.
And they made script changes this year, like after the writer's strike ended. They were still working on it, but the option just ended and Netflix didn't look to renew or anything like that. It's just, I think the project was just bigger than they anticipated.
I think they specifically stated, like, Netflix is trying to, like, pare back on
which makes their sense. Stuff.
Yeah, Netflix is not making the greatest business decisions lately.
They've
so.
Way overextended themselves.
Yeah, but this could be a really interesting opportunity for, say, Disney to pick it up. I mean, the rights have reverted back to the Riordans, so
we'll talk about this in the feedback section. Yeah, but we may have done a poll to see what you guys thought, and some interesting results from that.
Yeah. So while I am a little disappointed because I was genuinely looking forward to seeing this on Netflix, I'm actually very interested to see what could happen, where it might end up, what medium it might be, all that sort of thing. So, you know, it is a little sad, but I don't think that this is the end of the King Chronicles, given how popular Percy Jackson is.
Honestly, I think it's more good news than bad news. I love knowing that it was getting adapted. It made me very happy. But I think this could be more good news, because if Disney were to pick it up, whether they use it for another Disney Plus show, or whether they decide to do movies, or maybe just streaming movies, or whatever they decide to do with it. If it's under their umbrella, it just keeps all of those properties together, and I think that's valuable. So.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And last but not least, you discovered that Barnes & Noble has some Percy Jackson merch.
So, I was at Barnes & Noble the other day because it's a place that makes me happy. I get my Starbucks drink and I wander around and I look at the books and I just be amongst the books. As I tell my boyfriend, like, I just love to just be amongst them and walk near them and look at them and, you know, it makes me feel better. He thinks it's hilarious, but it does. I just like having my drink and walking around.
Yeah.
But no, I stumbled across some Percy Jackson and the Olympians merch, and you can find it all online on barnesandnoble.com, so you can take a look at everything that's there. I will say, it's a lot of very, like, generic kind of things. It's, you know, Camp Half-Blood journals, and the Yancey notepad made me laugh just because I love, like, Yancey is not, like, a huge thing, but it's cute that we have a Yancey notepad. So it's just very kind of bare bones merchandise, but I loved seeing some in the wild for the first time. And I may or may not have picked up a little something for myself and Karen as a part of her Christmas present, but we haven't opened our Christmas presents yet, so I had to dig it out so that I could give it to her. They're so cute.
So this was literally my favorite thing out of all of the merch, and I knew this is what it was going to be because you know me so well.
Oh, yeah.
These are the sticky note tabs.
Yeah, they're so well done.
They're so cute.
They're so well done. The details on them are honestly really good, and there's, like, there's ones from Waterland, and there's ones with the Camp Half-Blood logo.
That's literally Walker's face.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy. But I just thought they were so cute, and I was like, Karen needs these. I need these. Yeah. I bought myself a set.
100%.
But yeah, so I'm excited. I'm excited to see that things are starting to come out. Hopefully we'll get some stuff at, like, a Hot Topic in the future.
Yeah.
We'll get some Disney Store official merch.
And, like, there is some stuff at Hot Topic, but it's just, I feel like this is only the beginning.
Yes.
Like, there's going to be a lot more.
I really do think so, too. Yeah. It's just kind of getting the ball rolling. This is the first merch we've really seen, but it made me so excited to see in person and to stumble across it in person first and then be like, oh my god. It was very special.
That's awesome. I'm still waiting on those Funkos. I haven't bought Funkos in a while, but I will 100% buy them.
All over it.
Yeah.
Like, let's definitely do it.
Okay, let's jump into our discussion for this week, which is A Hero's Journey, The Making of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. This, of course, is the documentary for the show. This is something that we had really, really wanted to see when we first learned that it was getting adapted because we love behind-the-scenes stuff. And this came out right after the season ended, and I'm kind of bummed that, like, you know, everything that happened, that we're talking about it so much later, but it was good because it gave me a chance to watch it again and kind of, like, soak in some of the things that when you're first watching it, you're, like, overwhelmed by everything.
Yeah.
But I have to say, like, despite the fact that it was only one 50-minute episode and not, you know, an 8-part series, which is what I would have wanted, I thought the documentary was actually really good. I think it covered a lot of stuff and it really highlighted a lot of the main points of each episode. Like, we got to kind of see the main guest stars. There were, like, little interviews with Lynn and Adam Copeland and all that kind of stuff. We got to see how they did, like, the Minotaur and, you know, just a lot of the highlights, the stuff that was particularly interesting. So what did you think of this? Did it live up to your expectations?
I, like you, also would have loved an 8-hour series where I get specific episodes about different aspects of production, because let's face it, we all are, you know, children of the Lord of the Rings documentary, you know, behind the scenes stuff, where we got so much from that movie, and the, you know, the extended editions have 30, 40, 50 plus hours of extras. And I am a child who's watched all of them numerous times. I've actually listened to all three with commentary, which is absolutely fantastic, especially the cast commentaries, because they're just so funny. Anyway, I would love a really, really detailed one, but I think this was very well done, and it was meant to be a look at what we did kind of thing. It wasn't like a here's all of our craft and how we're handling all of this. They really just wanted us to get a good idea behind the scenes at how this whole thing came to be. You know, it takes us from those announcements at New York Comic Con all the way to premiere day and, like, you know, get how the show actually came to be. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed seeing what we got to see. And we got to see the kids behind the scenes. We got to see them kind of, you know, getting to know each other and joking around with each other and tackling crazy stunts together and all that stuff. So, yeah, I think they did a really good job with it. I'm really hoping that this is just the beginning, and if we get season, you know, when we get season two, because we are getting season two.
Yeah.
I can stop saying if. When we get season two, hopefully we'll get another one, and it'll be, like, you know, the next step in the hero's journey. Like, you know, what's next? So,
right.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely. I thought it had good rewatchability, too. I wasn't bored the second time I watched it, and it was just cool to see all that Tani stuff. I wanted to bring up just a couple of moments because there were some things that really stuck out to me while watching this. The first one being New York Comic Con, because I really loved that they kind of started off this documentary with the fans. And, you know, that is such an important thing. And I think throughout the entire documentary and in a lot of the interviews, they've talked so much about how much this means to the fans, the fact that they're aware of it, and really wanting to bring this book to the small screen. And I just thought it was really cool that they showed a lot of fans dressed up in cosplay, and they really highlighted that. Robert from Damn Meme Page was in there within the first couple of minutes, and I was like, oh my gosh, I know them. I recognize that Pikachu, that Detective Pikachu hat. So, Robert, I know you're listening to this. That was really awesome.
Yeah, and we were very excited for you.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen next? But yeah, I mean, that was just really cool. And then kind of going into the nitty gritty of it, like for me, it was so weird, but seeing Andrew, the acting coach, was like huge for me because they had talked about him so much in interviews and how great he was and how much he helped them. That must be such an interesting job because you are so embedded in the production of something like this, and you're literally molding the future of Hollywood in so many ways. And, you know, there are some people who are just natural actors and some people who study the craft and go to school for that, and they might end up in the same place. But either way, I think it's really good to kind of think about what the story means to you. Think about how you can relate to your character, kind of bring them alive in your head. And seeing, like, the calmness of Andrew and just, like, how he described things to them so that they could, like, feel it and then act it, no wonder they all did such a fantastic job in the show.
I also loved he talked about, like, them using every moment, like, on screen. It's not just line me, line you, we're done with the scene, action, beat, here we go. Like, it's, you know, it's a whole scene, and you're the character in the downtime, too. You know, you are that character listening to Annabeth. You're that character who's watching this thing unfold, and you have to react as the character would. And, like, it seems common sense, like, you're an actor, like, what are you doing? But I love that for them, he's kind of giving them that moment, like, saying, hey, you're not just a person on screen reading the lines. Be the character. You know, how would Percy act listening to Annabeth say this stuff? Would he be rolling his eyes? Would he be fiddling with something? Would he be, you know, poking Grover? How did I forget Grover? I almost said Arian.
Yeah.
Because Arian is Grover. It's just they're all one being. But, like, is he poking Grover next to him? You know, that sort of thing. And I just love that he's encouraging them to really fully encompass the character and not just get your lines right, get through the scene, get done with the next so we can move on to the next. Like, he's really kind of honing the craft, which is really cool.
Yeah, and that's just building foundation for season two and beyond as well. I mean, they're going to be even better next year, I can't wait to see that.
Absolutely.
I also really love seeing the volume in action because we talked about that so much, and it's something that we're both just super interested in.
And you can, like, envision sitting in a room and, like, seeing, you know, you can understand what the volume stage would feel like. Like, you're standing in a room and around you is the scenery and now you feel like you're there. But, like, the idea that the ceiling even is, like, the ceiling, like, even that's included on the volume stage,
yeah,
which never occurred to me. Like, of course it is, but, like, it never really occurred to me that you would also have cool things happening above you and whatever. So, like, seeing that, like, literally in action was really cool, and it just makes me that much more, like, anxious someday to, like, be able to tour a volume stage. Like,
right.
I just want to see it. Like, I want to stand there and see what it looks like, even if it's as a tour group or something, you know. I just feel like it would be so cool.
Yeah. There was a moment where Charlie was standing there and he's like, I feel like I'm in a forest right now. And I was like, are you not in a forest? Like,
it looks like a forest.
Yeah. So that was just really cool. And honestly, like, if they want to do a documentary on just that, like, I would watch that. I mean, they've done some stuff about the volume before.
Yeah.
But I'm so intrigued by the future of this technology, and I really can't wait to see how they use it in season two.
Yeah.
One of my other favorite aspects was Walker loving the stunts and just how into it he is. And I just can't stop thinking about the fact that he's going to be an incredible action star someday. Like, getting all of... I mean, he's already worked with so many incredible actors. He's the lead in a huge television show. He's got so much experience under his belt. He's, you know, not even 16 yet. And he already knows so much stuff. He was learning about cameras and how all of that works.
That was something that jumped out at me.
Yeah.
He, like, on that set, he gets to play in so many things that you can tell really fascinate him about the industry. Mm-hmm. Like, he's playing, you know, sitting behind the director's monitor and, like, playing director and acting, you know. And he's talking to people who do other jobs and learning things about being on set and, like, you know, when you're really little and you're working with Ryan Reynolds and you're making that movie, I'm sure it was just like, be a kid and make this movie.
Right.
But now that he's kind of getting to the ages where you start to think about things that interest you and what you want to do, and, you know, he's obviously very interested in acting and Hollywood, but, like, there's so much more that you can do as an actor to make sure you're doing projects you want to do. You can produce, you can direct, you can take up some other aspect of the craft that really interests you, mm-hmm. and run with it. So I just love that he's being given the opportunity to kind of play around with all aspects of filmmaking and get to see, you know, how everyone does their job, because it's just going to make him better later on when he wants to take on producing and directing and things like that, because I'm sure he will.
And it'll make you a better actor if you know, you know, why the camera needs to be here, or maybe, you know, if he is in a place where he can be like, actually, I think maybe this shot could be better. Like, there's a lot of ways where you can work in tandem with directors and writers and everything if you're so familiar with how all of that works. And I'm so excited to see where he goes from here, because he's already done such an incredible job with everything that he's been involved in, and I think it's only going to get bigger and better, and
yeah,
just like, I just imagine, it's kind of like, you know, Dylan O'Brien was not as young, but he was still fairly young on Teen Wolf, and now he's doing, like, feature-length films, like, you know, heading up franchises and stuff like that, and seeing his growth from Teen Wolf into these larger roles is, like, as a fan who kind of knew him when not a lot of people did, it's like, this is really satisfying to see, because back then, like, I had such faith that he was incredible and that he was going to go far, and to see that actually come to fruition, it means a lot for somebody who appreciates film and all of that. And so I kind of imagine Walker as a younger version of Dylan, really, because I think that
they have a lot of similar qualities.
They really do. Like, the comedic timing and the action and stuff like that.
And honestly, and this is not to disparage Dylan in any way, Walker's kind of better set up to be successful in this industry, because Walker is more of a people person than Dylan will ever be.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Dylan, like, you know, he does fine. He gets along with people, and, like, fans I don't think are a huge problem. Like, he enjoys being, you know, meeting fans or whatever, but, like, he's a very anxious person, and so, like, all of that press stuff and all of the official stuff and being mobbed by fans and all of that is a lot for him to handle, and I feel like Walker is just a little more open to that. It makes him a little less anxious.
Yeah.
So I feel like he may even be better prepared to take on big action set pieces later on in his life.
I was just trying to figure out their age differences and whether Dylan could play, like, his father or, like, an older brother or something.
Older brother for sure.
Yeah. I think father, it's not, I mean, you could fake the ages.
I was
going
to say, give Dylan about 5, maybe 10 more years, he might be able to legitimately play Walker's dad.
Yeah.
You could give him a little scruff or a little gray hair or something, and he might actually look like he could be. Because they do look very similar.
That would be pretty cool.
It would be really cool.
Anyway, So the other thing that really stuck out to me was Aryan's energy. I already knew that I really liked him in this role. In all the interviews I had seen, I just really enjoyed his energy. And of course, Rick and everybody had been hyping him up so much. But like, watching him in the behind-the-scenes stuff on set, he seemed so genuine and humble to me, which is hilarious because he made that joke about how modest he was and all that kind of stuff. But, like, I really think that he kind of gives off that, like, calm older brother vibe where it's like, you know, he's a little bit older than Walker and Leah, but he's not so much older that it feels like he's, you know, a generation apart or anything like that. He's still with them, but you can tell he has a little bit more experience with the world, and he just comes off as, like, a very genuine person, and I love seeing that.
Yeah, and just so genuinely excited to be there and be Grover and learn all the new things. And, yeah, he just... I think he's the perfect, like... balance to Walker and Leah, with them being just a little younger, and Grover is supposed to be a little older, and I think Aryan really just nails that, like, 100%. But yeah, it was nice seeing him be so into, you know, in a different way than Walker. Like, Walker's kind of, like, all over the place and, like, excited about learning everything all the time, and he's like a golden retriever where it's just like, bah! Whereas Aryan, like, is just taking in the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you can see that he's just, like, appreciative that the whole thing is being done and that he gets to be a part of it. And he just feels that slightly bit older where, like, you're taking in the whole picture.
Right.
As opposed to just being excited about everything that comes across your plate.
So if Walker's the golden retriever and Leah's obviously the black cat, what would Aryan be? What's the third one? We'll have to think about this. If anyone has any ideas, get back to us.
I mean...
Now I'm
is
really
he a different breed of dog?
Right? Or does he have to be, like, a different species? Because I feel like that would, like, balance things out.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll give that some thought. Yeah. If anyone has input, let us know.
Yes.
Because,
yeah. The last thing I wanted to mention was the parents. Because that was something I wasn't really expecting to see in this. But they interviewed the three kids, their parents, and... I loved the insight. First of all, I loved seeing just them in general. And then the fact that they're so supportive, that they know how big of a deal this is, but that they're kind of there to support them and to be like, yes, like, you know, you could very well be super famous soon if you aren't already, but also, like, you're just a normal kid, and kind of give them that, like, grounding that they really need. But especially Walker's dad getting emotional about... how his son has already found his calling, and to be able to watch that and nurture it and see him grow, I was like, oh man, that really hit me.
I think my favorite part of the documentary is seeing the parents. They're just there to be a part of this thing that is going to change their children's lives.
Yeah.
You know, like, Walker's dad is kind of a little bit old hat at this, but, like, seeing his dad see the volume stage for the first time and, like, experience what all of that is was really cool. And, yeah, seeing him kind of break down a little bit because he's just so excited that his son has so much time to enjoy doing this thing that he loves and, you know, and he can go on to use it in a million ways, however he wants to have his career go. And just, yeah, and I loved Leah's parents.
Yes. Her mom was so cute.
So cute.
Oh my God.
But, like, her dad talking about how she'd, you know, she is Annabelle.
Yeah.
And how she'll go to her room at night, you know, after shooting or before, you know, as she's prepping for a new shoot, she'll be in her room running lines and her dad'll, you know, yell, Leah, and she'll go, I'm not Leah right now. And I'm like, that is just, it just tickles me.
Yeah.
Like, I just love so much seeing her dad, like, you know, talking about how important this is to her and how, you know, she feels like she has something to prove, even though she doesn't have to prove anything to any of, you know, we all love her. But yeah, like, just hearing from his mouth what she's been going through and, you know, how excited she is for this opportunity, but kind of being prepared for the difficulty that they knew was going to come. It was really just great to see from all three parents, including Aryan's as well, kind of what this means to them and how they're all present in their kids' lives on set And I love that they made that a part of the documentary. Because yeah. it's not a thing you really have to include. Mm-hmm. You can just stick to what's going on. But, like, their parents are pivotal in their development as people and actors and all that. So, like, to have them involved in the documentary just made me really excited. Because it just makes me feel that much more, like, assured that it's a very healthy set.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. too, because the kids, as young as they are and as big of a project as this is, you know, especially I feel like when we were younger, a lot of the child stars growing up, like, they did get taken advantage of a lot. And I think that's a little less common now. Like, people are more aware of what's going on and what the industry is like, which is a really good thing. But you always kind of have to worry, you know, if Walker was, like, 12, 13 when he started filming this, he is a very well-known kid at this point. I mean, there yeah. are millions of people who know who he is. That is a lot of pressure to have on you. I can barely stand knowing that we have as many listeners as we do week to week, and it's not nearly as many as that.
No.
So it's a really difficult thing to handle. And, yeah, seeing the parents and everything and just knowing that it's so supportive and so healthy makes me feel better about, you know, everything that they're going through, and they have people to turn to when it gets rough, because it will at some point.
Yeah, and they're still, like, you know, they're still taking classes and going to school and doing projects, and Rick is around and is, what do they call him, Grandpa Rick? He's Uncle yeah. Rick, but I think yeah. they call him Grandpa
Rick.
I think
Leah called him Grandpa or something.
Yeah. But yeah, like, it's just, it feels like a really healthy place to make the show, and they're really taking care of the kids and making sure that, you know, they have the things they need to be good people and also have the freedom, and they can feel safe to adventure into all of this craziness. So I just really loved seeing that the parents were involved in all of it, because it just makes you feel that much more secure that, like, these kids aren't being mistreated, they're not being run ragged. Like, I also loved that they included a few moments where Walker was, like, so excited for 42 more weeks yeah. of this. Like, it's still a huge, daunting work yeah. project. Like, they're still working. You know how you feel at the end of a long work day where you're like, I just want to go home. I want to go put my feet up. I'm tired of all of this. It's still work, and they're allowed to be sick of it. And, you know, it doesn't mean that they don't value what they're being offered here. It doesn't mean they don't value the project or love Percy. Yeah. It just means it was a long day.
Yeah.
I spent all day in cold water. I would like to go home now.
And I loved, in particular, I want to say Andrew, the acting coach, said this, because he said something about, like, it's really important that the family is there and they understand what a toll this takes on you mentally, like, using your imagination at such a high level for so long. And I think that's something that not a lot of people understand about the creative arts, and something that, honestly, I didn't completely understand until I started writing regularly and professionally, is that it takes a lot of mental energy to write a book. Even if I can do it in, like, you know, I've written a book in 6 weeks before, which is very fast, and most people have longer than that. But it can be very daunting, and you get really exhausted by the end of the day because your mind is constantly turning and working. And I think a lot of people look at actors and go, oh, like, they get to do what they love, they're super famous, they have a lot of money, like, it's an easy job. These are long, hard, arduous days physically and mentally. And yeah, I was really glad that we kind of got to see that aspect of it too. The fact yeah. that it is kind of hard and they have to do takes over and over again and all yeah. of that.
Yeah, agreed.
The last moment I wanted to mention was Virginia Call talking about her godson and the fact that she basically was like, oh yeah, I have this, you know, tape that I'm sending in, and she told him what it was, and he just stopped and was like, oh my God, I love Percy Jackson. And she, like, it was so funny because her voice was fairly even, but she could not stop crying.
Yeah.
And I think both times I watched this was the part that really made me tear up, because, you know, yes, we are a lot older than a lot of other fans, but, like, we've also sat with Percy Jackson for a very long time, and even though I was in college when I first read these books, they still meant a lot to me, and even now they still mean a lot to me. And this kind of takes it full circle with them starting off with the fans and wanting to make this adaptation for them and doing it justice, and then kind of ending on Virginia talking about how much this means to her godson. And then they started interviewing some of the background characters, the campers that were there, and like the fact that one girl has ADHD, and you know how another one always kind of went back to Percy Jackson because it made her feel safe and welcome. And it's just like, I mean, that's really what this means to people. And I, you know, it's why we started the podcast, because yep. It means a lot to us, too.
Yeah. I mean, if we didn't already love Virginia Cole, like, so much. But, yeah, this, seeing her kind of, like, oh, yeah, it was a role. It was an interesting role. I was going to send a video in. But, like, yeah, her godson being attached to it, like, this is cool. Like, you're going to be Sally Jackson? Yeah. Like, that's so awesome. Like, that, I love that it means so much to her. Mm-hmm. Like, having that connection to her godson is, like, okay. Like, that adds a dynamic to it. Just, like, you know, we love hearing that Walker is such a huge fan of the books. And him being, like, miles ahead of people on set because he knows what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, they can say, oh, we're doing the thing with Ares, and he knows what scene it is. Like, he knows the books so well. So it's like, yeah, seeing Virginia kind of have that connection to it as well is really cool. Much like... recently, Glenn Turman also talked about how making the show was, like, so much fun, but he also loved watching it with his grandkids.
Yeah.
And, like, that is why I think this is just so much fun, is this show is really good for the whole family.
Yes.
It's not just for kids. It's not just for preteens or adults. Like, you really can watch this mm-hmm. with people of all kinds of ages, and it's going to be interesting to everyone. Some people may get jokes or things that others don't. Little kids may not, you know, understand everything that's going on, but can appreciate the monsters and the fighting and the fun, you know, the cool stuff. I love it so much because... yeah, I just love that the whole family can really watch this show, and it's not Star Wars where it's a little bit crazy and a little over your head and very dark and political and, you know, has right. a lot going on. And it's not Marvel that, again, gets political and has so much going on it that this show is not any simpler, but it's just... everybody can get something out of it.
It's a little more approachable, I would
yeah.
say, because especially with Star Wars and Marvel, at least I feel like I have to watch everything to really enjoy it all,
mm-hmm.
whereas this is literally the first step in the direction of a Percy Jackson universe, so much more approachable. And thankfully, we also have season 2 on the horizon. Like we said, that is confirmed.
Yes.
I really hope that they do another behind the scenes documentary for season 2. I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah,
you know,
I
think that if they already have the footage, then it's worth it.
Well, and I heard someone say that this documentary, like, all the footage was shot before they had, like, the footage was given to someone, and they made the documentary out of the footage that was shot.
Mm.
So it wasn't like a documentarian came in and made the documentary.
Right. Okay.
The footage was done as they shot by Disney or whomever, and then they brought someone in to craft a story, you know, and make the hero's journey mm-hmm. documentary. So I kind of, the only change I would really love to see is someone actually make a documentary while they shoot season
right.
2. Like, have someone who has a vision for kind of how they want to show the progression of the season and, like, really give it, you know, its all. That's the only change, and just a minor thing, really, because
yeah.
I just like when people have intention, and I like that it's not just taking what you have and making something out of it. Like, I love when they have a chance to really, like, play with, even in a documentary series, the arc of what's gone on
right.
making this season.
Yeah.
Seeing the problems, seeing the things they had to solve and fix and whatever, like, that stuff's cool.
Mm-hmm. And I think because they already have a foundation laid down, that something like that will be much easier. Of course, I would love to see a multi-part series for season 2, but if they just do another hour-long one or 90-minute one, I would still be okay with that because it was super enjoyable.
By the time we get to season 5, though,
right?
It's going to need to be.
But also what I want to see is, like, the Billie Eilish interview where, like, they do the same interview questions, like, every year and see how she's grown. I want them to do something like that with the trio to, like, match up the footage and see how they've grown each season and what's changed and everything. I think that could be really cool.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Prophecy Radio is produced by Subjectify Media. Follow our website on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram at Subjectify Media, or visit us at SubjectifyMedia.com. You can find some of our other podcasts there as well, including Rewatchable, where we discuss our favorite canceled and cult classic TV shows, Not About the Weather, which is a general interest show that sometimes features interviews with our favorite creators, and Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, which includes exclusive interviews and an in-depth analysis of Teen Wolf and Wolfpack. You can contact Prophecy Radio directly on Twitter at Prophecy Podcast or on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, and Tumblr at Prophecy Radio Podcast. You can also email us your long-form thoughts to prophecyradiopodcast@gmail.com. You can find us and our episodes on Spotify, Apple, or any of your favorite podcast platforms. Please consider leaving us a review or a rating. 5-star reviews help others to find us, and that is such a big help. You can leave us questions, comments, ideas for episodes, or content you want to hear from us. We love hearing from you guys, so please, if there's something you would love to hear us discuss or anything like that, please reach out and let us know. Obviously, we have tons of feedback because we have like 4.5 weeks worth of discussions with you guys, and there's been a lot of big things that have gone on. But I basically want to talk about two major things we talked about on social media. Number one is the season two, and I asked you guys what your most anticipated moment or parts of season two of Percy Jackson and the Olympians would be. And you guys let us know, for sure. We had quite a few people who responded to this. First of all, the damn meme page wanted us to know that the siren scene is definitely the one he's looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
That is a very popular answer. I think everyone is excited for that. It means so much to those characters. So, yeah, duh. That's a no-brainer. We also heard from the Party Ponies Canada chapter at Party Pony for Life, who were just definitely excited to see the Party Ponies.
Oh, I never would have guessed that.
I mean, I kind of forgot that the Party Ponies show up in the second book. Like, when they said this, I looked and I went, oh, yeah, that's right. Like, they do show up in the second book.
Yeah.
So, honestly, very excited for that. I love them. We heard from Solomon Foster at Coloman, who says, Grover in a wedding dress, Tyson, and also Ironclad. Mm. So, yeah, lots to look forward to there. I mean, I'm very interested to see how they handle the Grover wedding dress situation.
Yeah.
There's been some talk about him wearing, like, a traditional, like, Indian wedding outfit instead of, like, a white wedding dress. Some talk, I don't know the technical verbiage, but they were using the actual correct words for what the garment is. I forget what it is. But, like, yeah, I feel like it would be cool to kind of do a take on it, but do it a little different because... Yeah. You know, I don't know.
To honor his heritage and stuff.
I just think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely open to whatever scenario they end up coming up with there.
For sure.
And I mean, of course, we're all excited for Tyson.
I'm really curious. It's going to be really interesting to see how they handle what he looks like, especially in comparison to the movie, which, like, I didn't hate movie Tyson, but I want to know what Rick's vision for Tyson is going to be. And, of course, who's playing Tyson.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Like, yeah, who's going to play Tyson?
Very big deal.
So many thoughts. And then, let's see, we also heard from Not Just Another Fangirl at justafangirl_2, who says, I'm excited for how they're going to build Clarice up this season, and Cersei's Island, and the Sirens, and nobody. It's all going to be so good, I can't wait. Yeah, definitely. I mean, Clarice is such a big player in season two. It's where you get to know who Clarice really is. So yeah, seeing Clarice become a fully fledged character and not just... kind of the antagonist, because she wasn't really the antagonist.
Right.
But yeah, I'm really excited to see how they work with her character in Aries and how all of that's going to work out. And then, yes, of course, Cersei's Island. I mean, the hamster. I think we're all excited to see how they handle all of that. Okay, and then last but not least, we heard from Delphi Dispatches Martina at M. Gerstgrazer, and she says, I really want a Reyna Easter egg, like they did with Nico and Bianca in the Lotus Casino. I think they could be a little more obvious with the Easter egg. I agree with you. I love little added things. Mm-hmm. So I love that sort of stuff. But maybe slightly more obvious.
The Nico one was a little tough to pick out. People got it, but it was buried in there. And I did see that Rick had said specifically that, like, they're not going to cast Reyna because, mm-hmm. you know, there's no point in doing it at this point. But that there will be something like the Nico yeah. Easter egg, so that's really nice.
Yeah, so I am looking forward to that. I hope they continue. Like, they did a really good job in season one of kind of prepping us for the future, and right. I hope they continue to kind of drop little hints and yeah. things here and there. Okay, and then the other major point of feedback was I wanted to talk about this poll that we put out in the world. When we found out that King Chronicles wasn't going to be going forward at Netflix, I asked, since we've learned that, do you want to see this adaptation as, and I gave four options, a TV series at Disney Plus, movie series at Disney Plus, series somewhere else, or like in theater. And overall, very much TV series at Disney Plus won out. Mm-hmm. And I think it's obvious why. Becky also kind of quote tweeted us and said, like, hey, if everything's owned by Disney Plus, then we can do crossovers. If it's not, then we can't, which is the obvious, like, right. answer here. Hopefully that's something Disney is interested in tackling. Mm-hmm. Will we have to wait for it is the only question. If Disney were to decide to take this on, would they wait until Percy's done? Or is it something they would want to do, like, kind of at the same time?
Right, yeah. My concern, like, first of all, I want it at Disney because I trust Disney to take care of it the way that they've taken care of Percy Jackson. And considering Daughter of the Deep is also at Disney, like, just making Disney the home of Rick Riordan's properties makes a lot of sense to me.
Two thumbs up from me. Yeah.
I'm a little hesitant to say that I think they're going to do a TV series because that's very expensive and it's going to take a while to get that done. Whereas if they do a movie series, maybe they can move that into production a little bit faster, which will be nice after having waited so long for it to go to Netflix and then seeing it not go there. I think in terms of crossover stuff, they could do like an after credits scene kind of crossover. They could do like a mini series, like a limited series with the short stories.
Yeah. The shorts. Well, Disney does shorts all the time.
Right, right.
So I feel like it would be really cool to get some of those crossover stories as, like, 5-10-minute shorts.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't have to do, like, a whole thing.
Yeah.
I would also really love to see it animated. I think, in particular, King Chronicles lends itself to animation really, really well. But the only drawback of that is you don't have the... Like, I wonder if they could cast the people that they get to do the voices... in the live action, like, crossover or something like that. Maybe, like, as they're casting the voices, they could keep that in mind or something.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. I like the idea of an animated series. It's not... My heart wants live action just right. so that you can have all the live action crossovers. Yeah. Like, of course. But, I mean, all of these books could very easily be absolutely phenomenal animated series because of the magic and things that right. go on, especially in King Chronicles, in the half a book I've read. but, like, even so far in King Chronicles, like, I could see how that could be a really cool animated series. So, yeah, I'm definitely open to however they want to handle it, but I really do ultimately hope it ends up at Disney or Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. Whether it ends up as a Disney Plus movie series or TV series, I don't really care. I don't think I want to see it as a theatrical experience kind of movie. Not because I don't want to see it on the big screen. Like, I would love that. But I feel like if it stays at Disney Plus, it stays on an even playing field with yes. the Percy series. And so then the ability to do crossovers and things mm-hmm. are still there. I feel like if it is made to be a tentpole, like, in-theater release, it's going to feel off.
It'll feel different. It'll feel yeah. like something separate versus yeah. something that, you know, even if they don't cross over, could exist in the same world.
Agreed, yes. Yeah. So I'm definitely intrigued to see the future of King Chronicles, but thank you guys so much for taking part in the poll. We had 876 votes, which made me so happy because I just really wanted to see, get a good picture of, like, how you guys were thinking. And overwhelmingly, people wanted the TV series. Yeah. So I definitely understand why. Okay, that wraps up this episode. So next time, we're gonna give you our big overall thoughts for season one of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. We're very excited to take an episode, step back a little bit, and say, okay, big picture, what do we think? How do we feel? Right. Yeah, especially now that we've been really removed from it and had a chance to rewatch and, you know, whatever. I think it'll be fun to kind of dig in and see what we loved and what we didn't and,
yeah,
you know, where we want to see it go and all of that.
Yeah. It's not confirmed yet, but we are hoping to have a special guest on that episode, so hopefully that works out soon. And then, of course, if you have any thoughts on the overall season, let us know right in, and we'll discuss them next time.
Yeah. Until then, this is Kristen.
And I'm Karen.
And we're Prophecy Radio signing off. Over and out.